Pride of man, broken in the dust again. Great song, a very ignored band, Quicksilver Messenger Service from the 60s. It's about the fall of Mystery Babylon. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor Greg Howard. And this is Yahweh's Covenant People, March 10, 2017. And brother, I've been having to rush around. That's why we're a little late and unprepared. So I think you probably remember where we left off. And
brother Eli, first of all, I'm glad to be here. And I just got to say this, brother, I don't think you're ever unprepared with what you know and the experiences of Scripture and Christian identity that you've had. I think I could shake you out of bed at 3 a.m. and you could hop on the radio and do an amazing 3-hour show.
Probably,
I really do.
Probably, right. I think I do some of these shows in my sleep, and my wife really gets annoyed by that.
By the way, I'm hearing something in the background. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, there's noises going on. Toby's running around acting up. No. So
it almost sounds like a little...
Yeah.
Okay, I'm hearing just kind of an echo, I guess, of my own voice.
Oh.
Maybe it's just on my end.
Oh, is that it?
Here, is the audio coming in okay on your end? If it is, then I won't worry about it.
It is. If it's... hold on, let me reset the audio engine and maybe we'll get rid of it. Hold on. Okay, I reset it. Is that any better?
I'm still hearing it. I just don't know if anyone else is hearing it. Maybe in the chat room, if someone could put in, if they're hearing a normal video, or normal audio without any feedback,
yeah.
Then I won't worry about it. I just hear like I'll speak something and then I'll hear it come back 5, 6, 8, 10 seconds later.
Right. Well, if it's distracting.
So I don't know if it's a big deal or not. Maybe it's not.
Well, we're not hearing it. We're not hearing it. But if it's distracting you, I can call you again and just take a few seconds. That usually goes away.
It doesn't bother me. It's in the background. Right. It's small. I can look past it. Brother Herbert says it sounds fine, so I appreciate that feedback. Brother, I appreciate going through this book. And what a fascinating time that we're living in right now. I would not want to be alive at any other time in this planet than this current moment. We're living in such a weird time. And I am fascinated that we're going through parts of the book of Baruch again. Part of me is burdened that we're not starting at the beginning of the book and working through the whole thing. Thanks, Pastor Steve. This book absolutely should have been included in the book that we know as, quote, unquote, the Bible. That 66 book, collection of sacred writings. And yet we find that there were numerous books left out of the Bible that are clearly scriptural. And Baruch, to me, the Apocalypse of Baruch, would be way at the top of that list. I would put Enoch at number one if I was going to rank them. But, I don't want to rank them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how do you rank scripture? But Enoch, to me, it's insane that the books of Enoch are not in the Bible. But we came to the understanding that they were purposely kept out because there was so much truth in them, and the truth was so exclusive for the white race and no one else. That's why these books were kept out. That's why we have the revelation of them in these final days, to enlighten us and to strengthen us and to teach us what's really going on. Because we can't go to any Judeo-Christian church and learn anything whatsoever. Every time I run into a Judeo-Christian and I listen to them, I have to subdue myself from grabbing them and literally smacking them right across the mouth in an attempt to wake them up, and I know it's futile, therefore
right.
I don't do it. They don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
They're worried about Negroes in Africa dying and going to hell. And in the meantime, our race is being genocided all over the world. We're being flooded with dark races, exactly as Baruch and Enoch laid out for us. We see it all. And, brother, you know how much I care about black tribes in Africa?
Apparently not too much.
That's pretty well said. I don't even know that I can adequately explain how little I actually
give a damn
for their destiny.
I couldn't care less. Is that what you're
really
trying to say?
I just don't care about it.
Right?
That's about it. When I read the news and I read that, you know, 50 blacks were shot over the weekend in Chicago, I pour myself a drink and go, you know, that's 50 less of them.
That's right.
I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, but they keep making more, Greg, and we're paying for it. Right? We're paying for it. And we're paying for, you know, all the crime that they're committing and all the little kiddies that are running around in a black ghetto that are being run over by cars and shot in the head by teenage black boys. You know, it's just it's a never-ending cycle that we're paying for. You know, so that has to come to an end.
Well, the beauty of the study that we're doing, and when we decided to jump back in, and my life is insane. I don't want to even get into it. But I just felt a burden to jump back into shows with you. And I love you, brother. I just want to say that publicly. And I mean that in a very masculine way, not in this weird freaking transgender man love world. Brother, when I say I love you, I mean that in a godly, Christian, white man, as one white man can love another white man way. Like, and I think everyone here understands what I mean.
Amen. Amen. I know you don't have a limp wrist.
I do not suffer from gender identity. disorder.
Or transgender disorder.
I do not suffer from any transgender things. I don't suffer from gender identity disorder. I realize Yahweh planted me on this earth as a divine being from the white race. And I just can look a little down south and I realize, okay, I'm a man. I get it.
Yeah.
I fathered four children, so I'm pretty clear who I am. But when the central revelation of the book of Baruch, the apocalypse of Baruch, to be specific, Baruch got the most incredible prophetic vision that I believe exists. I believe it's as incredible as anything that the book of Revelation has.
For sure.
Baruch was given a vision from the Garden of Eden to the end of the age and into the ushering in of the eternal age. And I mean, what vision can be more comprehensive than that? It covers thousands of years of history. And he lays it out, and it is the most racial. And now we understand why the book was never put in the Bible. There was too much truth there.
Right,
it was kept out of the Bible
racist.
When they put the Bible together.
Right.
It's all about race. Mm-hmm. It lays out the forbidden subject. Are you ever in a social situation and you just say something like, you know, I am so glad I was born a white man. I love being part of the white race. You want to make everybody weird around you? Say something like that. Yeah. Say, you know, I mean, if you were a homosexual, of course you're not, but you could say, you know, I am so glad that I'm gay. I love being gay.
Yeah, right.
Or if you were black, you could say, I am so glad I'm black. I love my black heritage. But if you're in a group of people and you actually utter something like,
and
you know,
I am a straight white
thanks,
male, and I'm proud
of
it.
I give thanks to God and I never say God, by the way. I always say Yahweh. Mm-hmm. I say, I give thanks to Yahweh that I was born a pure-blooded white man and that I'm part of the white race, and I love being white.
Yeah.
Once in a while when I'm around people, I will say that just to gauge the reaction of people.
Yeah, right.
Most of
horror,
them, of course,
They get reactions of horror on their faces.
Brother, I don't have many friends. Even my friends think I'm some kind of weirdo Nazi supremacist. And I'm trying to bring them along.
Well, I mean, they're not far from the truth.
If you get to know me a little bit and you're still my friend, my view is there's hope for you.
Amen.
Yahweh might be calling you. Because most people, when I speak what's in my mind, they just run away and go, wow, you're Hitler incarnate. I go, thank you for the compliment.
Yeah, right.
I appreciate that very much. Right. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Right. Well, here, let's get into it. We've got the Apocalypse of Baruch, and I believe we left off. I think we completed chapter 48, which
is I remember last week I read, we were kind of going through the build-up.
You jumped ahead to
central revelation,
right.
And I had that burden to just read, to read through the actual vision. And it goes on for many chapters in the interpretation of it.
Uh-huh.
And the interpretation comes from the angels themselves, the archangels. And we won't get into that tonight. I say let's get back into the buildup of it.
Right.
You said we jumped in at chapter 48.
Yeah,
let's
we finished it. So let's go to chapter 49.
Okay.
And this is obviously Baruch is asking questions of the angel, Yahweh's messenger here. And but just before chapter 49, it says, let me back up to verse 48. But now let us dismiss the wicked and inquire about the righteous, and I will recount their blessedness and not be silent in celebrating their glory, which is reserved for them. So the glory is reserved only for the righteous, not for the unrighteous, okay?
And you're in chapter 49, correct?
I was just reading the last verse 48 of chapter 48.
Okay.
Just to set up chapter 49, okay?
Of course, this old book has Roman numerals. And, you know,
let's face it, back in the old Catholic school, right? You didn't go to Catholic school, so.
Well, they actually used to teach education, you know, they actually used to teach Roman numerals. Right. Now they teach that young, you know, children can have two mommies and two daddies, and that's a normal family.
Yeah.
That's the, that's the nonsense that young people learn today in schools, and that you can choose your own gender, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry, brother. I can go on a rant in 2 seconds. Continue, please.
Right. Yeah. Shlomo has two daddies. Right. Okay. Chapter 49. Nevertheless, I will ask from thee, again, O Mighty One, yea, I will ask mercy from him who made all things. In what shape will those live who live in thy day? Or how will the splendor of those who are after that time continue? So I guess he's asking for, if he's asking specifically for the end times, I'm not sure the way this is stated.
I would say there's no doubt he is. Okay. I believe at this point Baruch realized that he was being shown revelations that were, just like Enoch, being shown for a time far beyond his present moment. Mm-hmm. And he was recording them for us. And let's face it, has there ever been a generation that has been closer to the end of this age than us right now in this moment?
Oh, no, we're just moments away.
I believe so as well.
Right? It's time
I believe the very fact that we are going through these hidden books is a tremendous sign that we are going to see the end of this age and the ushering in of Yahweh's eternal kingdom on this earth. And you know, I'm not trying to build this up too much, but I think the fact that we had the burden to go through the books of Enoch and the books of Apocalypse of Baruch and the writings, the 12 Testaments of the Patriarchs, which were very prophetic books, and all of this end-time prophecy that was left out of the 66-book Bible, I believe Yahweh is preparing the Christian identity faithful for the end of the world, for the end of this age. Actually, forget that I said world. It's the end of this age.
Right.
This world will continue. It will be renewed. All the wicked will be taken out. Most of I can't even imagine the slaughter that is upcoming. The slaughter that will happen at the end of the age.
Yeah, and they're asking for it.
Yes.
The libtards are asking
for it. Only the ones
it.
That Yahweh has marked out to be here in the coming age will be saved. The rest will probably be literally, physically slaughtered and die. I see little hope for them.
Yeah, yes.
You know?
Well, what's that song, Fire? It was in the 1960s. It was a big hit. Fire, ba-ba-ba, you're all going to burn. Right?
Brother, you're a rocker, man.
Sure
I've been
am.
To Eli's house a few times. I stayed with him. You should see the photo on his wall of Eli and his rock band.
Yeah,
Eli earlier in his life was a serious rocker, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I've had two lives. one as a
brother,
rock star.
We've all had two lives at least, maybe more than one. But
and
clearly,
the other is a humble
that
pastor.
One photograph on your wall, you were right. You were a rock star. No,
oh
no
man, I sure was.
It.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I could hit all those high notes.
I know you were
all
a rocker, man.
All the Led Zeppelin high notes. Used to be able to do that. But Yahweh has given me a different path, which is kind of interesting because it's kind of this question. Will they then resume this form of the present and put on these entrammeling members which are now involved in the evils and in which evils are consummated? Or wilt thou perchance change these things which have been in the world as also the world? So I think he's asking, will we, the righteous, get glory bodies? Mm-hmm. Or will we revert to type? right?
This By the way, is this not beautiful language right? interpretation oh, yes. from original Hebrew and Aramaic by R.H. Charles?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is.
Now we see the skill of R.H. Charles in this beautiful English language translation. You know, the most of the footnotes of Charles, from a theological footpoint, I don't even read.
Yeah.
Because we're a light year beyond what he saw. He saw very little. But his skill as a linguist was unmatched.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the value of R.H. Charles' translation right. of apocryphal books.
Nevertheless, you know, I think everyone listening, they should get a copy of it. I don't know whether the online copy has all of the footnotes.
Right. Destiny Publishers is where to get a copy of the Apocalypse of Baruch. I looked it up the other day. It was $12. And I totally recommend grabbing a copy. It just, you know, I'm an old school guy. I don't like to read stuff on my computer. I like a book because I underline, I write notes, I write cross references, I write other Bible verses. My Apocalypse of Baruch, every single page is filled with notes and cross references.
Yes.
And you can't do that on online.
Yeah.
I'm an old school guy. I like a book in my hand.
Right.
And for $12, that's the best $12 you will ever spend in your life to get a hard copy of the Apocalypse of Baruch.
Right. Well, one of the nice
things. I recommend
things,
everyone get yeah, one.
Absolutely. One of the nice things about his footnotes, and we really don't have time to go through them, is that he cross-references the Apocalypse of Baruch with the Bible. Especially
right.
the Old Testament. He does
absolutely
a great job of that.
And in the back of this book, there is a specific cross-reference with the book of Ezra that we went through. He calls it 4th Ezra. It's also referred to as 2nd Ezra. But he has a specific, I'm looking at it right now, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 pages of cross-reference verses with the writings of Ezra.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
where the verses coincide, and that alone is worth your $12.
Yes,
you know, I mean, and we'll probably get into that a little bit, but he cross references the Old Testament with Baruch, and he's got Enoch in here too. He's got an Enoch okay. references, so he understood that the Apocrypha was Scripture, and he
yes.
put together basically a small concordance in the back of this book, which they wisely included. And I encourage everyone listening to this, Destiny Publishers, I think that's probably the only place that I know of to get a hard copy of this book. It's $12. You should get one.
Yes, absolutely.
You'll love having this okay. book.
Yes, yeah. All right, and also get a copy of our calendar, the Enoch calendar. Just go to yourfolkradio.com and click on the donate button, and we ask
Amen,
a donation
brother.
Of $20 or more, and just... Put the word calendar somewhere in the text or in the email message, and your name and address, and you'll get a copy in short order. Okay.
Amen, brother.
So, all right. Okay. Chapter 50. Chapter 49 was very short. And he answered and said unto me, "Hear, Baruch, this word, and write it in the remembrance of thy heart all that thou shalt learn. For the earth will then assuredly restore the dead, which it now receives in order to preserve them, making no change in their form, but as it has received, so it will restore them, and as I delivered them unto it, so also shall it raise them." Okay, so
Amen.
Remember, we're talking
Amen.
About the righteous. This
brother, how profound is it what you just read? I mean, what an excellent scriptural utterance that the earth shall assuredly restore the dead, which it now receives. And does it not exactly do that? Do we not bury the dead in the earth in order to preserve them, making no change in their form, but as it has received, so it shall restore. And as I delivered them unto it, so also shall it raise them. So there is a massive resurrection coming, not just of the righteous, but of the unrighteous. The unrighteous also will be resurrected for judgment, but the righteous will be resurrected for a tremendous inheritance, an eternal inheritance into the coming age. I just love the clarity of Baruch. It's just one of the most clear books ever written. And I made a note here where Baruch was told, write in the remembrance of your heart all that thou shalt learn. And my note that I wrote was, it was recorded for us.
Yes.
He wrote it for us. Us in Christian identity. And to me, that's just a label. People ask me, I don't know, most people avoid me, to tell you the truth. But I don't even, you know, people ask me what I believe. I go, you know, I believe the truth of the scripture. And yes, we among ourselves call it Christian identity, and I'm okay with that. I guess we have to call it something. But to me, 99% of all people that identify themselves as Christians are following an apostate, false way. Wasting their time, wasting their life, following a false road. Yahweh has opened the truth to a small handful of his believers in this amazingly deceptive time in the final days. And whatever we want to call it, let's just call it Christian identity for simple sake. Baruch was commanded to write down everything he learned. Write in the remembrance of your heart all that you shall learn. And here we are in the year 2017 studying what he wrote down.
Yes.
We are very blessed.
Right. Well, Matthew chapter 17, verse 11, and Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall come first and restore all things. So there is going to be a great restoration coming, but we have to be ready. If we're not ready, it may just pass us right by. Okay.
You know, what we are delving into here would be considered heretical by the so-called Christian world of today. Brother, I was a classically trained Baptist minister, ordained. I was a pastor. If I went into your average Baptist church and preached this type of a message, they would probably come up halfway through the message and drag me out the door and throw me out.
Right. Well, that's
and of
what
course
they...
I would view, if the opportunity came up to do it today, it wouldn't even cross my mind to do it. Because
right.
I refuse to cast my pearls before swine. Mm-hmm. I would not preach such a pure message of racial purity and Yahweh calling us out by our race to a mixed race group of Judeo-Christians. I would just decline it and go, you know, no thanks.
Yes.
I cannot do it. I will not do it. If you can bring me to a church meeting where every single person in there is of white heritage, maybe I'll come in. But if I look out and see any mixed races in there, any blacks, any other races, I won't even walk in the door and waste my words, waste this precious truth upon them. I just would not have the peace to do it. Yahweh has called us. We are the line of Adam. From the pure-blooded genealogy. And the Book of Life, to me, I promise you, is nothing but a genealogical, what's the word I'm looking for? It's the genealogy from Adam to the present moment. And that's why the genealogies in Matthew, in Luke, in the Old Testament, where they break down who was born from whom, who was born from
right.
whom. All that's doing is identifying pure white blood heritage. And the Book of Life is nothing more than that. The Book of Life is the record of pure-blooded white people being born from Adam to the end of the age. That's the Book of Life. If your blood is not pure, you're not in the Book of Life.
Yes.
That's it. What else could the Book of Life be? You know, the Book of
right.
Life, I used to think the Book of Life was somebody that prayed, you know, I could go to a Negro in Africa, and the Negro pray, you know, Jesus, man, know what I'm saying, man, yeah, save me, man, yeah. Okay, the Negro's in the Book of Life. That's how stupid I was 30 years ago.
Right, brainwashed.
I realize now the Book of Life is the racial lineage heritage recorded of our people from the book from Adam and Eve to the last white man or woman that will be born on this planet. The Book of Life is the racial lineage mm-hmm. record. It's ancestry.com times a billion.
Yeah, right.
It's the white race recorded
cute.
In a divine book. And there it is. And if you're not born a white man or a white woman, there is no true salvation for you. You may have some belief in a creator, whatever it is, and I don't pretend to totally understand it. And Yahweh's going to sort it all out at the end of the age. I love that verse where he says, every plant, Christ said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up.
That's right.
That verse just gives me such an assurance that all the satanic seed lines spreading through the various races will be dealt with at the end.
And their hybrids.
Yeah. The mixed bloods, the mulattoes, they'll all be dealt with. If Yahweh did not plant you as a seed on this earth, you will be rooted up. The whole concept of Judeo-Christian missionary work is the most ridiculous notion I've ever seen in my life. It's when I don't even want to get started. You know, I went to Bible college for 4 years, and they were huge into going to the mission fields. Right. They used to have missionary conferences at my Bible college.
Right.
And they try to get the young preacher boys to come up and commit themselves. You know, we need preacher boys to go to Africa. You know, Kenya, there's Kenyans dying and going to hell every day. We need some of you preacher boys to go to Kenya and preach to, they didn't call them niggers, but they'd say, well, you know, I don't know what they called them. Yeah. And I used to think,
Kaffirs.
You know, when I was a young, naive Christian, and I used to think, God, are you calling me? And call me to the mission field? There was dead silence, praise Yahweh. I never went forward for any of that nonsense.
Right.
Deep down, I never liked blacks. There was something in me. I used to think I had a problem, but now I understand it.
You were the only smart one.
Looking back, I think I was. Right. And how brother, praise Yahweh, how I came out of that incredible, disastrous mess and what I went through, and now what Yahweh has shown me and what little I understand. I mean, to tell you, brother, I just give thanks to our precious Creator, Yahweh. I love being white. I never had white guilt, to tell you the truth. I love being white.
And neither have I, right? I never bought it in college, you know, at the University of Illinois. It's all, you know, it's all multiculturalism. I never bought it for a minute.
Brothers and sisters, be very careful sending your children to college today.
Yeah.
It is a Jewish indoctrination center.
That's right. That's right. It's libtards graduate from college. But your sentiments are recorded in Luke chapter 10. Let me read verses 10 through 15. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us do we wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you.
Amen, brother.
Okay.
We need the mercy of Yahweh, do we not?
That's right. That's right. Well, these modern Judeo Christians reject the word.
And they really do. Yeah. And, you know, consider how few people on the planet today are studying the writings of Enoch. How many people on the planet today actually even know that the apocalypse of Baruch exists?
Right.
This is one of the more unique scriptural books that has ever been written. It's insane to say that this book wasn't in the Bible, but yet we understand perfectly why it was kept out.
Right.
This book was hidden knowledge, not for the masses. You know, as was the writings of Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
There's one book of Ezra in the Bible, but Ezra claimed he wrote 366 books. We have two writings of Ezra.
Yeah, right.
I can only imagine the satanic seed line of Cain, a.k.a. the Jews, have destroyed countless manuscripts across history and done their best. And yet Yahweh has preserved for us exactly what we need to have in the final days. We should be supremely thankful that we have this book in front of us.
Yes, and there's many other books that have been lost, but I think
Yahweh
has kept the ones that we really need, and these Apocrypha, of course, the Bible properly understood as a racial book, and then these Apocrypha books which amplify that. Okay, chapter 50, verse 3. For then it will be necessary to show to the living that the dead have come to life again, and that those who had departed have returned again. And we had a partial fulfillment of this at the resurrection of Christ.
Yes.
Okay, when the dead came out of their graves and announced to the living that the Messiah was risen. Okay.
Right, and when Yahshua Christ resurrected Lazarus.
Yes.
What a spectacular display of who he was.
Uh-huh. And the both of those
power,
are,
you know.
Both of those are types of our people who, obviously, Yahshua was far away above the greatest Israelite who ever lived. But Lazarus proves that our mere mortal selves will be resurrected as well. Okay?
Brother, how merciful is our Creator?
Right.
You know, how weak are we? We are living in such an age. How hard it is to live a holy life in this wicked world.
Yes.
Every single day we are just surrounded by an expression of the fallen angel devilry.
Yep.
You know, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And yet Yahweh is showing us mercy and calling us. And we're here on a radio show delving into profound, prophetic, hidden truth designed only for the elect of Yahweh. I doubt there's anyone listening to this tonight that is not among Yahweh's elect.
Yes.
As long as you're white. If you're not white, then I don't know what you're doing here. Please don't even listen. If you're not white, just go listen to something else, okay?
Right.
But if you're white and you're listening to this, Yahweh is calling
to CNN.
You.
Joel Osteen, John Hagee. All right,
Joel
verse
Osteen.
4.
Don't even get me started on Joel Osteen.
Verse 4.
If he isn't a crypto Jew, I have never seen a crypto Jew in my life.
That is
the most Jewish looking dude. I mean, you might as well put put a rabbi outfit on that guy. He's probably kicking over headstones in a Jewish cemetery down there.
That's right, and blaming it on us, right?
The Nazis kicking the headstones.
I saw Eli and Greg in the cemetery last night.
Brother, I am so far beyond kicking over Jewish headstones.
Right? That's work, man.
I would rather
spray
painting
is a lot easier.
In imprecatory prayers. Yeah. And praying down the judgment of Yahweh upon them, then kicking over a few useless headstones over dead Jews that are already burning in the fire. That's a waste of time. Those Jews are already dead in the fire. I'm not going to waste my effort on them. I know they're burning already.
Sure.
You know? I will spend my time praying for the living Jews that they go to the fire.
There you go. That they be in those cemeteries.
Dead Jews, I can cross that off my to-do list. Right. All right. There's 100 dead Jews in the cemetery. I'm not going to mess with their headstones. Yeah. Way beyond that.
What a waste of time, right?
Exactly. They're already burning. I'm not going to.
That's right. All right, verse 4, which kind of expresses our time again, and it will come to pass when they have severally recognized those whom they now know, then judgment will grow strong, and those things which before were spoken of will come. All right, so there's going to be a recognition that these prophecies are coming true, which they are, okay? I would say mainstream Judeo-Christianity is in denial. They're all waiting for the Antichrist to come and don't know that Antichrist is Jewry, and it's already here, right?
Antichrist is already here for sure, he's got his claws into everything.
Yes.
I mean, what is the Antichrist but the full expression of the satanic seed line that we saw that, you know, planted itself into the womb of Eve with the seduction of Eve. Poor Eve, a typical white woman, totally naive. Somebody from another race shows her a little kindness and she spreads her legs. It's pathetic. And unfortunately, our women are very much the same way. And yet I blame our men, and I blame myself. If our men were as strong in Yahweh as they should be, no white woman would be with anyone of another race.
That's right.
So Eve, that's why the blame fell upon Adam and not Eve.
Right. Yeah.
Eve was seduced. Adam was at fault. Our women, brother, is there a more precious, pure possession on this planet than a white woman?
Oh, amen. Amen.
They are complicated.
Right.
I could go on and on.
Right.
But my point is this. it is up. Yahweh has put the responsibility for their protection upon us. Mm-hmm. And Adam failed, and I don't blame him.
And
I would have failed probably
and we
too.
We have failed also.
Who knows
what he
was out doing?
Right. He was at the local bar chugging a few beers.
Well,
that's today. Today.
It's we could go on and on, but right. The fall of our race took place in the garden. And yet, it clearly had to be providential. Yahweh has a plan. We're going to have eternity to have it explained to us. I believe in the coming age, we will probably sit in theology classes where it will be broken down to us by various angels.
Yeah.
And we will be elevated to the level of angels and likely beyond them, I believe.
Right.
We are beyond angels in the coming age.
We will. We will. All right, chapter 51, and it will come to pass, when that appointed day has gone by, that then shall the aspect of those who are condemned be afterwards changed, and the glory of those who are justified. For the aspect of those who now act wickedly will become worse.
Yep.
Are you listening? Worse than is that of such as suffer torment. Also, as for the glory of those who have now been justified in my law, this is so scriptural, who have had understanding in their life, a little bit that we do have, and who have planted in their heart the root of wisdom, then their splendor will be glorified in changes, and the form of their face will be turned into the light of their beauty, that they may be able to acquire and receive the world which does not die, which is then promised to them. This is right out of Revelation, but much more poetic.
Absolutely. And Enoch and Ezra and all the other books, this concept of the next age, we are absolutely transformed into divine beings. We are transformed into where our face will shine as the sun. That's right out of Matthew chapter 13.
Right. Exactly.
Our face will shine as the sun. We literally, and I believe that we already are these beings in a way, but we, through this life, have to learn all our various lessons, and we are actually going to be unveiled in the coming age. This is the beauty. This is why the world hates the white race. This is... Brother, forgive me. I'm trying to subdue I have an occasional tendency to swear, and I subdue myself as much as I can. But this is why the blankety-blank Jews do everything they can to bury our white pride, our love of our race, to keep us down. Deep down in their satanic hearts, they're hell-bound beings. They know that we are the divine race on the earth.
That's
we
right.
are... Yahweh's Amen. Children on this planet. And in the coming age, when we are unveiled to be who we really and truly are, we will be greater than the angels. Enoch taught us that.
That's right.
We will be beyond the angelic beings in the expression of glory of our Creator Yahweh.
Right.
And it's hard to wrap our mind around that because this world just beats us up and the world is against us. And every single race on this earth hates us to varying degrees. And the white, you know, we are reviled. We're the white race. Oh, white guilt. There's slavery. On and on and on. The satanic Jewish dialogue against our people never ceases. It's unbelievable.
That's right.
It just drives me nuts to see what I see sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't see anything here about 72 virgins, though. That must be a different
religion. The whole concept of Muslim religion is one of many various Jewish satanic falsehoods.
What a concept of paradise, though. Can you believe that? Right?
The black race, the dark races, all they think about is, you know,
sex.
Having sex with women. I mean, they're basically, that's why they're well known to be rapists.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
I mean. That's why it's insane anytime you see one of our women with one.
Yeah, right. But this just goes to show how low their standards are. Right? We're
That's
talking
right.
about glory bodies in a completely different realm, and they're just thinking about 72 versions, you know, in the
That's right. You know, that's a good illustration. I mean, I'm not saying that particular thing doesn't interest me in this life, but
right, in this life.
In eternity with
actually,
total
no.
glorification and expression of the
right.
creator of the universe, that act may well become such a non-issue, I'm
right.
open to not even considering that it's anything that'll ever enter my mind again.
Amen. Right.
Who knows? Whatever I know is this. Our creator, Yahweh, has a destiny designed for us that is beyond our comprehension to grasp, and we will be with him in a unique way that is just amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be utterly different from what we have now, right?
Well, it will be the true fulfillment of what we were created for.
Yes. And
yet we have to suffer through this current brief moment of life to
right.
prepare ourselves for our eternal
yeah.
destiny.
Kind of like a caterpillar crawling along the ground eating dirt, right?
Well, I didn't quite think of it like that.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, your ambition is to be a butterfly, right? So
this life is
can
clearly
a caterpillar
mysterious.
Imagine what a butterfly is like?
Yeah.
Can it? Right?
Yet it prepares us for an
yes.
eternal destiny to rule as kings and priests.
Yes.
You know?
Amen.
Remember, Enoch
Amen.
Taught us that there were almost an infinite number of Earths, other planets, that were awaiting us in the coming age.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it's a big stretch to realize that we, the overcoming believers and the pure white-blooded, you know, continuation of Adam and through the genealogy and in the Book of Life, my personal opinion is that those of us that make it through this life properly will easily rule
mm-hmm.
an entire planet in the coming age.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, you can go through the parables and see rewarded with rule over various cities.
Right.
I take it to the next level with the apocryphal books. We may well rule planets.
Oh, for
if
sure.
If we overcome yeah. in this world and we love our creator Yahweh and we're in Yahshua Christ and we stay racially, I easily see us ruling a planet in the coming age.
For sure.
Deep down,
if
you're true to yourself, you realize you were meant to rule and reign.
Amen.
Do you not feel that inwardly, brother?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think if I could knock Rahm Emanuel out of Chicago and put you in charge, do you think you could take care of that Negro problem
right.
in about a weekend?
Yeah.
And there would barely be a Negro crime from that time on? Could you not do that if you had total despotic control? I know you could, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know you could.
Well, I know
picture
the other
yourself
races.
With that kind of power in the coming age over a planet.
Right.
I believe
yeah.
what awaits us, and probably far more than my little weak imagination can even think of. We
yes.
were meant to rule and reign. It's in us. It's in yeah. our people. And I believe we'll have that opportunity as overcoming white people, you know, believers in Jesus Christ. I believe that's part of our destiny. Probably a small part.
Mm-hmm.
I believe
yeah,
our eternal
right.
destiny is far beyond our comprehension.
Amen.
And it'll
Amen.
Be incredible.
Verse 4, for over this above all will those who come then lament that they rejected my law and stopped their ears that they might not hear wisdom or receive understanding. So that's all your Judeo-Christians today.
Exactly.
They have stopped their ears.
Who else could it be?
Right, the three monkeys.
No, where was that? Where was that? Where was that,
that was verse
again?
Four,
that
was, verse 4, chapter 51.
Chapter 50?
51.
51, okay, I got it.
All right.
Brother, that,
let me read
that
it again.
Verse is exactly Judeo-Christianity.
That's right.
They have stopped their ears from the truth.
And
it's amazing to me, brother, that you are not invited constantly to preach in various
right.
Judeo-Christian churches. I'm just going to say this out loud. I believe you are one of the top theologians on the entire planet, maybe
well, thank
the top.
You. Thank you, brother. Yeah.
If there's anyone higher than you, I do not know that person. And I, you know, I'm factoring in the great theologians, you know, Christian identity theologians of the past, you know, the Wesley Swifts, you know, and those. But they, brother, even
well,
they didn't see what you see because you're alive now and they're
yes.
dead. And you have seen the current moment in history. And yet, When was the last time a Baptist church or Methodist church or Presbyterian church called you up to invite you in to preach on a Sunday?
No, they'd throw me out if I went.
That's it.
They knew who I was, right?
That's it.
I'd be sitting in the back chuckling.
Oh, and yet here we are speaking the truth.
Throw that guy out. He's laughing at my sermon.
A handful of Yahweh's called out elect. And how thankful I am for it.
Yes,
truly.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we don't get to preach to 25 or 30,000 in a stadium like Joel Osteen.
Right.
And I've listened to him a few times. And by the way, that guy, I give him excellent marks for being a public speaker.
Oh,
but
yeah.
When I listen to his message, I realize I think I am listening to a satanic being preaching a message here. He is preaching a gospel that is completely false.
So subtle. Yes.
And yeah, he's
right.
Polished.
Well,
I find him fascinating to listen to because his speaking skills are off the chart good. But his message is right from a fallen angel. I'm telling you, he is taking people straight down the path to the fire.
Right,
there's
right.
no doubt whatsoever.
And he's got the trophy wife, you know, who prances around pretending to be a Christian.
Yeah.
He's good at pretending too, right?
Genesis. It's the epitome of false apostate Judeo-Christianity, just like Enoch predicted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
in the final age,
show.
All would be apostasy, and there would be a small group of the elect.
Yes,
and to me, the small group of the elect could be no one else but the Christian Identity brothers and sisters. We are a small group. We're never going to be a group of 20, 30,000 in the stadium. Maybe there's 15, 20, 30 people listening tonight. I don't even know. Even if it's 2 or 3, 4, 5, I give thanks for that small called out group that Yahweh is feeding and preparing for the upcoming chaos.
Yes, we will be exalted. Verse 5. When therefore they, these the unrighteous who have stopped their ears, when they see those over whom they are now exalted, okay, because the mammon rules over the righteous as we speak,
amen.
They will respectively be transformed, the latter into the splendor of angels, and the former will mainly waste away in wonder at the visions and in the beholding of the forms.
It's that simple. Yeah.
I could have been like that.
These are spectacular. By the way, brother, these are spectacular
visions.
Prophetic.
Oh, man.
These are verses detailing what happens at the judgment, at the end of the age. Baruch was shown the whole thing, as was Ezra. You know, I have a couple notes here that I wrote where it says, entering the eternal state, both good and not good, the wicked will behold the righteous, then depart to judgment.
Hmm. Okay.
So Yahweh will have the wicked resurrected, and they will behold the glorification of the righteous. Then they will depart unto judgment.
Yeah. So
can you imagine?
First, they'll get to see what they're missing out on.
Right, exactly.
and then they'll get their just desserts. All right.
How does your heart not grieve a little bit for what these ones will go through?
Well, yeah, sure.
Many of these will be the Judeo-Christians. And I believe these verses are only discussing white people and no one else.
Yes.
Because this, none of these verses apply to anyone that's not white. You know, this is the white race. This is the theology of the white race that we're studying here. Those that will be judged eternally, both good and bad. And he says, when therefore they see those over whom they are now exalted, but will then be exalted and glorified more than they will respectively be transformed, the latter into the splendor of angels. Think about that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, me too. And the former will mainly waste away in wonder at the visions and in the beholding of the forms.
Yeah.
For they will first behold and afterwards depart to be tormented. But those who have been saved by their works and to whom the law has now been a hope. We have to get into this.
Yes.
The law has never passed away.
Amen.
We're talking about the end of the age here, And now the law is all of a sudden an issue.
Is our hope.
Brother, yes. Wasn't the law nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ? That's what I was taught in Bible school.
Well, just think, if the obeying the law is meaningless, then why bother?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, let's go eat ham and, right. I love scallops and how about a little shrimp?
I know, brother, that's the worst
barbie,
you'll ever do.
You know?
Right.
What's it matter?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's absurd. I mean, that idea is just totally absurd that the law has been done away with. I don't know how any, I had never, when I first heard of that, I said, you know, it's crazy. How can any Christian believe such garbage?
Traced it all back to the garden where the most beautiful white woman that's maybe ever lived was tricked into spreading her legs by a satanic serpent.
Right.
And we have been tricked by that serpent ever since.
Amen.
Our people have been deceived. Our people have been taught the law has been done away with. To me, half the people that teach in Bible colleges are probably crypto Jews. They probably got the nose job, so they don't look as Jewish as they probably do later.
Right.
And our people are just the most we're the most amazing race, but we are the most naive people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
What is it with us getting tricked by Jews all the time? You know,
yeah.
How often do you run into someone that knows what's going on with Jews?
Yeah,
if they're not Christian identity.
Yeah, very rare.
They look at Jews and think they're just white people that go to some different kind of church. It's incredible. Right? I run into it all the time. I ask people, I go, what do you know about Jews? When I say Jew, what do you think? Oh, you know, they look like us. They kind of go to a different church, but they're white, aren't they?
Yeah.
I subdue the impulse to smack them.
Yeah, right. Right, right. But they're not
children. They're not white. They're not white.
Right, right.
They are not white. They want you to think
they're
white.
They're not even human.
White.
They're not even
human. Yeah, exactly, brother.
Okay.
They are. Right. They're not only not human, they are the offspring of fallen angel contaminated racial seed line through Cain, and unfortunately still infest this earth to this day. That's why the earth is a disaster.
Yes.
What a mess.
Yeah, yeah.
What a wisdom. What a nightmare.
There's very little intelligence, too. Certainly no wisdom, right? For they will behold the world which is now invisible to them, and they will behold the time which is now hidden from them. And again, time will not age them.
Amen. Brother, we're going to live eternally in the coming age.
Does that mean my aches and pains go away too?
Absolutely. Long gone.
I hope that's part of it.
You're going to be an ass-kicking rocker.
Yeah, right. There you go.
I'm telling you. I can see it coming for you.
Right, right. With monumental, gigantic speakers on each end of the stage.
I'm not betting
against
it.
For in the heights of that world shall they dwell, and they shall be made like unto the angels. That's the second time we're told that. And
Amen.
Be made equal to the stars.
Praise Yahweh.
Even
Amen.
Higher than rock
Think about
stars.
That. Equal to the stars.
Amen.
Read on. It gets even better.
Yes. And they shall be changed into every form they desire. Whoa, now that's power. From beauty into loveliness and from light into the splendor of... So we'll be able to perform miracles. That's how
you
much
know,
power
it,
we'll have.
I don't even know that we can wrap our mind around what we will be able to do in the coming age.
No.
This is the beauty of Baruch. Here's the note I wrote. The eternal state is described glorious.
Yes.
And I'm going to reread it. He goes, for in the heights of that world they shall dwell, and they shall be made like unto the angels, and be made equal to the stars. And they shall be changed into every form they desire, from beauty into loveliness, and from light into the splendor of glory. For there will be spread before them the extents of paradise, and there will be shown to them the beauty of the majesty of the living creatures, which are beneath the throne, and all the armies of the angels, who are now held fast by my word, lest they should appear and are held fast by a command, that they may stand in their places till their advent comes. And then this spectacular verse, moreover, there will then be excellency in the righteous, surpassing that and the angels.
Amen. But we got to pass the test. We got to pass the test of righteousness. So this is probably the best description of our future glory of any passage of Israelite literature. Yeah,
nothing. Really, nothing in the Bible touches this description of our eternal destiny. Yeah. Brother, we're not just going to be equal to the stars. We're not just going to be changed
We'll be stars.
We're not just going to be changed into something as good as an angel. He says in verse 12, Baruch, moreover, there will then be excellency in the righteous, surpassing that in the angels.
Better than
we are
going to
kick angel ass in the coming age. I don't know quite what that means. I'm not getting cocky here.
Yeah, right.
But it says our glory will surpass that of angels.
Yes, it sure will. Here's a little glory for you. This is I think this song captures a little bit of that glory. I love the chord progression.
I want to apologize to any angels I may have offended tonight. I'm not trying to get overly confident, but it is written here, so I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yes. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. We're looking forward to being in the kingdom. Very much forward to. And praise Yahweh, we pass the ammunition.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. All right, Greg, thank you. Love you, brother.
Praise Yahweh, brother and sisters. Amen. Get a copy of this book.
Okay. Bye-bye.